The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have a fun show today. Today's NBA trade deadline day, and Espo's going to be with us. Not had Espo on in a long, long time because the Suns have just not been good. And Greg does a lot of cool things, Greg Esposito, outside of just his passion for the Suns. He runs Sun Solar Panel Podcast. He's been doing the Sun Solar Panel Podcast for a long, long time. And today being trade deadline day, we're going to brawl. We're going to throw it down. And that's at 10:35. Jared Allen is going to be with us today. So I was telling Steve Burney, the executive producer of this show, who does a fabulous job in chasing down each and every guest, not only for this show, but for Devin Henry and NASCAR and Jordan Hamm. So when you see guests that pop up, a lot of them come from Steve Burney. He is the best in the business, bar none. I said, let's go get Jared Allen. And so he got Jared Allen. Jared Allen finished as a runner-up to the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. Jared Allen's just a good dude. He's involved in a lot of things, and with the Wounded Warriors Foundation and building of houses for Wounded Warriors. He retired 5 years ago, but has some ties here to the Valley. I just wanted to wrap with him. I wanted to talk to him about J.J. Watt, what he sees out of him in productivity. He's a great Minnesota Viking, of course. Jared Allen will come up at about 10:20. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. Desert Financial Credit Union. Actually, I had a friend the other day who said, hey, I'm thinking about opening a small business with my wife, and I want to talk to some people over at Desert Financial Credit Union about what they do. So, terrific. And we wish them good luck on that front, Desert Financial Credit Union. It is the NBA trade deadline day today. I am of the opinion that the Suns are not a championship team this year. Give me the last time that you had a team that was just one of the worst ever. And the next year, they turned right around and won everything. And there's questions here. DeAndre Ayton's probably the biggest question on their current roster. But I think from a position standpoint, you've got to get bigger, stronger, tougher, playoff experience up front. And there's two guys. And I don't think either guy is going to get traded today, but I'm of the opinion that both LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond are going to get bought out. Both those guys are going to be sitting there saying, okay, where is the best place for me to go to win a championship? Now, Monty Williams has some history, good history with LaMarcus Aldridge. Phoenix has history with LaMarcus Aldridge. We remember the big banners and LaMarcus is coming to Phoenix. And I'm just like, really? You guys are going to go that far? And of course, he used the Suns and he went to San Antonio because everybody back in between 2011 and 2019 used the Suns for a better deal. I don't hold it against him. That's just business. But to me, in all seriousness, having toughness alongside of DeAndre Ayton is something that this team simply doesn't have. And here's the thing about it. I don't know if DeAndre Ayton's tough in the playoffs. You don't know if DeAndre Ayton's tough in the playoffs. And really, this is, for me, I'm going to throw the hammer down on DeAndre Ayton. I was in favor of the Suns drafting him. I thought big man, put alongside Devin Booker, get some very good pieces. You know, Ricky Rubio comes here. That's an okay piece. It's an upgrade piece. Chris Paul comes here. I was like, oh, that's a great piece. You know, you draft, and you try to find some players. Mikal Bridges looks like that guy. But they've not been able to find that person, that player, to put alongside of DeAndre Ayton that's just a grit guy. He's a badass. He's somebody you don't want to go up against in a seven-game series. Playoff basketball is a lot different than what we watched last night in Miami. The Suns are in Orlando. The Suns last night were like zipping. Like they picked up tempo last night. I don't know if you noticed that. I'm watching in the first and second quarter. It's wow, they're trying to be track meet guys tonight. And I don't know if that is a trend. It wasn't just last night. I noticed that in Miami, that they're getting out a little bit more. What you see with the start of a team and how they finish up before playoffs are two completely different teams. There's things that are going to be added. There's wrinkles that are going to be put in place. Monty Williams said after last night's loss, he didn't care about the trade deadline. It doesn't matter to him. He wants to keep the roster. And coaches always say that. That's a typical night before deadline. You're never going to have a coach say, you know, we blow it, shooting guard. And that guy that we have at power forward, he's a stiff. He can't move. And they're never going to say that. So I'm always amused when it's, so, coach, you want to do something tomorrow at the deadline? He's going to say, no, nope, we want to stand pat. I respect the coaches that say, look, we're on the outside looking in. If we can add a piece or two, I'd be all for it. Everybody on this roster knows that they're available and can be traded at any point in time. They get paid a boatload of money, and if they're uncomfortable, get used to it. I love that. Doesn't happen, but love that. Grand Canyon University. So I'm sure many of you, and I've had some people that asked, you've not had anything up on social media about a story involving a Grand Canyon University basketball player, but we started seeing things yesterday morning. And why haven't you done that? And I simply go back to journalism 101. There'll come a point in time where when things get confirmed, if things get confirmed, and we will go in depth about it. But in the last 24 hours, I think the media in town has been pretty darn good. One exception, but I think the media in town has been pretty darn good of being respectful and understanding journalism 101. There's a lot out there on social media about a Grand Canyon basketball player who passed away. But a lot. But until the family is notified and until all that gets confirmed, we're just sitting there on social saying, oh my gosh, what a tragedy, and putting pictures up of players. Like, what are you doing? This is so tragic. You don't know. So when people want to bang on our industry all the time, yesterday I thought, it's an awful story. It is. And at some point in time, I'll sit here if it gets confirmed and probably walk through it. It's just awful. But it's not been confirmed. So for me, just even dance around it a little bit, I feel uncomfortable. But I feel like I have to address it because I've gotten notes saying, well, why aren't you doing anything on this Grand Canyon basketball player? The story that's out there on social media, and I'm going to leave it at that. It's been really, really hard. To say that it's been just brutal on people over GCU would be an understatement. And outside of that, today the Diamondback season ticket sales open up. And I don't talk about season ticket sales much on this show. I usually try to focus on the field. But in this case with baseball, look, I don't think they're going to be very good. I don't know many people that think they're going to win more than 80 to 85 games. And if Zach Gallen is not able to start the season, I might reduce that number. I'm of the opinion Madison Bumgarner will be shopped around, that really the next 3 months are just an extended spring for him to show teams, look, I'm ready to go. You guys are in contention. Trade for me. That's where we are this year with the Diamondbacks. They're going to say, well, we're the underdogs and all that. And that's fine. You got to get people to show up. But I am of the opinion that with everything that we've been through, everything that all of us have been through in the last year, I'm just looking forward to going to a game. I don't care who's on the mound. I don't. I'm just looking forward to having a beer and sitting next to somebody and saying, what's new? You know, I'm vaccinated. I feel very confident about going out. If I have to wear a mask to a baseball game, so what? If you don't want to wear a mask, don't go. But I'm just looking forward to a baseball game, just hanging out, just taking my son and saying, what's new, man? Taking my wife like I've done for years, all the way back to when we were in high school, and saying, hey, I'm going to go get a scorecard. I'm going to keep score. What's new with you? You want a beer? You want some peanuts? Let's leave in the seventh inning. Well, let's go up to Fridays and hang out. I don't know about you, but the last year has just worn me out in terms of the negative on what sports is all about and how, well, people aren't watching as much and there's a political side to it. And we just need to have some things that are fun, that are enjoyable. Pro sports is that. Pro sports is a distraction. My stance on high school sports was much different last June, July, August, and into September. Some of you didn't like that. Too bad. It felt like we were being reckless last year. And so, you know, I can't wait for the season to get started next week. I think it'll be fun. I think the ratings are going to be just fine. And if they're not, so what? The games are going to be on. We have a basketball team that's relevant for the first time in 10 years in the Suns. We're fortunate enough in this town to have a Major League Baseball team to roll out. The Dodgers come in. Guess what? I'm going to get to watch Clayton Kershaw on the mound. That's going to be a nice little hour or two of enjoyment for me. And I hope you're in the same boat. Jared Allen is next. He does a lot of cool things away from football. You will hear from he almost made the Hall of Fame this year. Finished runner-up. I got to ask him about that. Jared Allen and then Espo on the Suns and NBA trade deadline day. That all comes up next. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Does a great job day in and day out. I'm Brad Sussmad. All right, as promised, I want to have Jared Allen to come on. There's times where I see people that do good work, and it kind of in our industry, for some reason, gets pushed to the margins. And a guy like Jared Allen with the Wounded Warriors Foundation here in Arizona and across the country, he's done a lot. And yeah, I can talk to him about football, and we will. And yeah, I know you Viking fans are all excited to see his face. If you're a Bears fan, maybe not so much. I don't know. But I want to have Jared Allen to jump on in here. He was a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. It will happen at some point. And just get caught up with you. I think the last time you and I spoke, you were doing a home out here years ago. And I told my producer, I said, find Jared Allen. And so it's good to see you first and foremost. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate you having me on again. Yeah, it's been some years. Life, just living life, you know, just having a good time, enjoying the kids and the wife and the family. And I'm one of the guys that loves retirement because I generally like doing nothing. But we, like you said, we stay busy with our foundation and different things we got going on. So I think like the rest of the world, been trying to navigate 2020 and, you know, just trying to hold tight and hope there's a light at the end of this tunnel. We can all come out better for it.
Where are you these days for fans that don't know?
Oh, we reside up in Nashville area, but just down here in Florida right now on a little vacation. So, you know, taking advantage of virtual school. It's raining up there, so brought the RV down to get some sunshine.
There you go. There you go. Let's get into Wounded Warriors Foundation first. I want to go on that front. Where is that now in your passion, and how is it going for you in post-NFL on-the-field play?
Oh, great. Man, we've just been plugging along. We completed our 20th home a few months ago. Just gave a home actually just outside of Tampa. We got about 6 projects going on. We have some amazing partnerships. But, yeah, that's just kind of been our deal. You know, our phenomenal team that, you know, that takes care of the day-to-day, our director, Alex, and then, you know, or basically our second in command. I only have 3 employees, so it's not a big deal. You know, Amanda, they do such a phenomenal job making sure that everybody's taking care of. We have great partnerships, so we're just constantly building. And like I said, we're building homes all over the United States. We got, like I said, 5 projects going right now. We just purchased some land the other day for another recipient. So just nonstop chugging along, trying to help, you know, in my opinion, our men and women that sacrificed, you know, with no point intended, life and limb for this country. Mm-hmm. Deserve nothing more than the American dream. I've been blessed to live out my American dream. I've been blessed to grow up in a country where literally anything is possible. You know, I told my dad when I was 8 years old, I wanted to play professional football. That's what I did. And so, but I come from a military family, from my grandfather, my brothers and uncles and stuff like that. So I've always had such a high respect for our men and women in uniform, understanding that their sacrifices is why I got to do what I do. It's why I get to drink coffee and gripe and play. You know, every freedom we enjoy, I don't think people realize is fought for. And it's from a military volunteers. You know, men and women volunteer to protect these freedoms for people they don't even know. So the least we can do when they come home, make sure they have their sights to the American dream. And that's what we do. We build and remodel homes and make them handicap accessible. You hear building going on in the background right now. To make them handicap accessible for our wounded vets coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan. And you know, been doing that now a little over 10 years, and just keep plugging away.
What I love about this, Jared, is it's not just something that you show up and you get a photo op and there's a check presentation, and you know, it's just one of those things. And I may sound a little cynical on my side of the street, but I've seen that stuff through the years. And then when the playing career is over, that goes away. You have stayed on this. This has been a passion of yours. And a lot of guys could just let it go by the wayside and said, man, I did the plane, I did the foundation, but this is real.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, it's kind of a pattern. You get in the NFL, you got to get it tied to a cause, right? Because too much is given, much is expected, and everybody should. But I would urge people to proceed with caution. So I was get blessed. When I first got in the NFL, I was able to get involved with JDRF, right? Juvenile Diabetes Research yeah. Foundation. And that's a phenomenal organization, right? And I still do some stuff with them every now and then. But, you know, for about 10 years, I was just locked in with them. And then I decided military, I went on a USO tour, and this, you know, my cause became evident to me. And you know, a lot of people said, Joe, just start a fund, right? Just start a fund. You can just write checks out of the fund to different organizations, which is great. I mean, because organizations need funding.
Yep.
But for me, time, I think your time is the greatest resource you can give something. And for me, I didn't want to just write checks. I could have wrote checks and I could have just been a part of that, but we wanted to make a tangible difference in people's lives, and that's what our homes do. And you know, that's why we call it homes. It's not a house. You know, we wanted to build a home. My home was my safest spot, my most vulnerable time. It's something that, you know, most people's homes are their biggest prized possession, right? It's the majority of their net worth, even. So that's how we wanted to, you know, kind of, you know, and I put my name on it, right? So it wouldn't go away. And so, you know, that's kind of the plot I took because I was passionate about it. And so for me, it's, you know, public service and community service and giving back to those who I've taken so much from, you know, whether it was always the fans, you know, the communities I lived in, this great country, I've been given so much and I've enjoyed every minute of it. So I just want to give back. So for me, it's not about, you know, it's not about the optics. It's about the lives yeah. you change. And, you know, that's why, you know, our philosophy is that we'll never let our brand get bigger than our cause. And, you know, we want our partners to be at the forefront. I don't care if people know what I do or don't do. We don't do a lot of hubbub behind it. You got to have media to raise money, obviously. But at the end of the day, we have such a great team that you know, runs like clockwork, and our partners do an amazing job making, and they all buy in. They all believe what we believe. And so we try to just build as many homes as we can. And keep our small family atmosphere. And like I said, our family just grows. Every recipient, our family grows. They all have my cell phone number. We check in with them. They can call me for anything. And it's been a good deal. So that's the only thing I'd caution people. Get behind a cause, but be passionate about it.
Yeah.
If not, start a fund, right? to passionate people.
I tell our staff, because we are a small little company. I just spun off and did my own thing. But I tell my staff, a changed life will change your life. If you can change a life through your platform, it will change your life. And so I will go back to, do you remember the first home? And like the first home that you did through Wooden
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh, this is beyond whatever I thought.
It was a complete disaster. We learned so much in the process. You know, we were, I was personally, you know, I started a foundation. It's funny. I started it. I called a buddy who owns a pretty, you know, good sized company. And I said, hey, I need a check. And I was like, yeah, I need about 40 grand. Right. I had no clue what it was going to cost. We're going to remodel some homes. So he wrote me a check. I pretty much matched it. And then, so we roughly had like 100 grand, you know, the 80. So we had 100 grand to go remodel a home. And we weren't really involved. We picked some contractor, wrote some checks, and contractor tried to swindle. It was a nightmare. It was just a nightmare, right? And you learn and you learn and you grow. But you're right. I mean, it wasn't probably till our, you know, second, third home when we got in the process, we realized that we weren't just building a home for people, right? You say we were changing a life. One of the most significant times in our foundation's history, there's been a few, but one of them was we had a gentleman when we found him. He was on the suicide watch list, and a couple years later, we were at his wedding. And after we had his home, and his mom came up. She was like, gave me a big hug and said, "You saved my son's life." Mm. Like, you don't realize, you know, and I think what we don't realize is that our men and women of the military, they're alpha, right? It takes a special person to do what they do. And so have these alpha males and alpha women come back and then have to rely on other people. Yeah. It really takes their independence away. It takes their mission away. It strips them of that core of what they did. And we didn't, I'll be honest, we fell into it. I didn't know anything. We heard from so many of our recipients that their home gave them their independence back, which gave them that drive. And our recipients are, they inspire me daily. But yeah, I mean, it is, you change a life. I mean, that's why, you know, I learned once in a Bible study that, you know, there's success and there's significance. Mm-hmm. I would rather be a significant human being than have any of the success in the world. And, you know, we all get to where we're going. You know, you can't take monetary stuff with you. It's about the people that you affected and the lives that you changed. And for me, I try to keep that in perspective that, you know, I've had great people in my life, and you never know what that one act of kindness or what it's going to be that's going to change someone's life. And so you hit the nail right on the head. And that's kind of, you know, and that's who we're partners with. And, you know, my buddy who actually gave me my very first check to start the foundation, his company's motto generally is positively impacting lives. Like that's what they're about. So, and so that's, I kind of, again, like I said, you know, I've taken so much that I got a lot to give back.
Yeah. Jared Allen with us for a few minutes and talking about the Wounded Warriors Foundation almost makes talking football insignificant, but
I get it.
If you were to sit in your chair that you are today and speak to you, the younger you, about football and, hey, by the way, there's this project that you're going to be involved in, would you have believed it when you're like 18, 19, 20, how your path went, how your journey has gone?
Yeah. You know, I knew I might, I don't recommend it for people. I put all my eggs in one basket at a very young age. And I was, you know, I was honed in on football, and that was all I wanted to do. You know, hindsight, you know, my agent always says God gave us eyes in the front of our head, not in the back, for a reason. Right. So hindsight is what it is. I'm sure, you know, like many people, I would have avoided some of the hiccups in my life, but you know, some of those hiccups taught me very valuable lessons that I'm able to be sitting here and pass along to my kids and to be a responsible, you know, a human being. I mean, we learn, yeah, you know, I'm a firm believer we learn more from our failures than we ever do from our successes. Mm. And but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I've always tried to be in the moment. Right. So, you know, make plans and watch God laugh. Right. I always plan for my future, but I like to stay fluid. And I like to be in the moment. I like to embrace where we're at. So as far as my career, I did the same thing. You know, I do look back and I look at, you know, my first few years and, you know, think like, man, if I was dieting the way I was my last eight, if I would have done this, or, you know, even when I signed with Chicago, you know, I always, in my mind, it's one of my regrets. I tell you, people, the first time in my career, I took the money and I went to Chicago. You know, they had the number two office at the time. So I figured, you know, in the division, my wife was from Chicago. I mean, Chicago area. It's great. I'm not a city person, but it's one of my favorite cities. And, you know, again, the good Lord put you where you need to be. But I always run that in my head. Man, if I would have just signed with Seattle, I, you know, probably wouldn't have blown my back out, or, you know, all those things. You do the what ifs, but they don't get you anywhere. I look back at my career. I had a great career. I always remember, because I'm a perfectionist that way. I look at missed opportunities. I look at times where I probably didn't train as hard as I could have early in my career. But I also look at those times as, man, I've had great stories. I've met great people. So I think if I could tell myself, I was telling my nephew this. My nephew, he's getting ready to graduate college. But I was telling him the other day, I said, you know what? While all your friends are out at the bar, living their life, or going to the club, I said, go to the country club, go to the golf course, sit with all the executives. You're going to drink beer with them, because at least it'll promote you through the ranks faster. So maybe I would have networked a little better early in my career, but hey, got me. I'm doing all right. And I can't complain too much, but yeah, you know what? Again, I think, like I said, I look at some of the what ifs, but it doesn't do you any good. So I probably wouldn't have done it any different. I would have tried to avoid some potholes, but hey, you know, the road smoothed out all right.
If you're talking to a Vikings fan directly, what do you say today, 5 years afterwards?
It's always thank you. Anytime I talk to a fan, it's always thank you. I understood that growing up. You know, I grew up on a horse ranch, come from a very blue collar family, and understand that, you know, when people spend their hard earned money, when they choose to spend their hard earned money to come watch me play a game, right? I feel I owe it to them to give it everything I got. And that's really the attitude I always took. So for me, the fans is always thank you. No matter what team you support, it's thank you, because it's the fans for why we have careers. It's the fans that ultimately, you know, you have media contracts are great, but guess who's watching those? Fans. So the fans are what drive the sport. And so I was laughing, apologize for not getting the Super Bowl, you know, ring. I didn't get one, period, but not getting the Vikings to a Super Bowl, I fell a game short. So yeah, but it's always thank you. It's just, it's thank you. It's phenomenal memories and the fans and the crowd. That is what drives those memories and what makes moments iconic is when you hear just erupting noise stuff.
Jared Allen with us. Before I let you go, a couple things. How closely do you watch the league now? If I were to ask you about J.J. Watt signing here in Arizona, and it's not even the contract that a lot of people are talking about at his age. I'm like, God bless him for getting it. But a player like that coming here to Arizona.
Yeah, I don't watch football that much. Honestly, I keep up because you do. And I saw you sign there. Honestly, you know, I got great friends within the organization. Fitz is down there. I know some of the managers. I lived in Arizona for almost 15 years.
Yep.
But I'm shocked you signed there. I got to be honest. I would have went to a more palatable contender in my own rights. And then you know what? Good for him. I'm never going to hate on people getting absolutely paid. If you can get paid as long as you can, go make it. Hopefully he can bounce back. I know he had some down numbers his last couple of years and moving, you know, moving organizations. Like when I moved organizations, you know, things change. It can be difficult because you have new coaches, new routines, new houses. It can be difficult. So I wish them all the best of luck. I don't watch it too much. Like I said, I keep track of the Vikings, see what they're doing. I don't have too many friends that are still playing the league. I'm kind of an old head now. So some of the young guys I like watching Danielle Hunter. I think he's a master of his craft. So I'm curious to see how he comes back off of his injury. I peek in. I like watching some of the old school teams that still run the football, like the Titans. Derrick Henry is a blast to watch. I do, you know, still bust people in the mouth. That's fun. But again, you know, a couple of free agent moves. Like I said, if I was JJ, I would have went to whoever had the best quarterback and could get me to the get me deep in the playoffs, the Super Bowl.
Last question, I'll let you go, and I appreciate all your time, Jared. And that is obviously the phone call this year for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Fans want to. You came short. Great class. I mean, really, really good class. Just the fact you're there, though, that's something else. Walk me through what it's been like here for you on that front.
Man, cool. Again, like I said, I live in the moment, right? I had no expectations of being a first ballot. I'd be lying to you if I said it didn't sting when I didn't make it, especially when four of the five made it. That stung a little bit. Or sorry, three of the four. I was the four first year eligible in the finals. So when three of the first year finalists made it as first ballot, I was like, ooh. But no, it's such a phenomenal honor. And again, you can't take anything away from everybody there is great. Everybody that makes it to heck, you can argue anybody who makes it to the semifinals of the Hall of Fame is that type of player that people model themselves after. I mean, you look at Lynch. I can remember watching Lynch. Obviously, Peyton Manning, no brainer. I competed against Peyton. I competed against Megatron. I competed against, you know, Charles Woods. I watched Charles Woods growing up. I was a Raiders fan growing up. So to be mentioned in the breath with the Bocellis and the Seymour, like just that entire group, it's so humbling. It's so awesome that, you know what, like I said, as a competitor, you kind of like, hopefully I can get back to the finals again this next year and hopefully I'll get in. And so we'll see how it plays out, shakes out. But, you know, again, it's one of those things I got no control over. It's all the voters. My career is done. But that's why it's this weird deal because it's this accomplishment that you're supposedly chasing that you're nominated for, but everything you did was years ago. And so now we're just seeing if we withstand the test of time. I mean, look at what Lynch was, like a 15-time finalist or something like that. And he finally got in. I don't even know what the exact number, maybe it was eight. I don't know. I just throw numbers out there. But it's an amazing honor. I'm glad I didn't have to go to the Super Bowl and not get the knock on the door. At least I got the phone call at my own house telling me I didn't make it. So I didn't have to get dressed up. So but this year, if I have to be at the Super Bowl and I have to get dressed up, I hope I get the knock on the door. So it's not for no reason. That might sting the most.
Yeah, that's good. I'll let you go off that. It's really good to catch up with you and to see you and the work that you're doing with Wounded Warriors. And you've continued on faithfully on that front. And stay well, stay healthy, stay safe. Thanks.
My pleasure. Take care.
So I was telling a friend earlier today that I'm going to have Espo on the show. And they said, you have not had Greg on in a long time. And I said, yeah, you know, he's at this level right? And I'm down here. So just to be able to get Greg on NBA trade deadline day for the Suns with the Sun Solar Panel, you can check out all of his content, Sun Solar Panel podcast. It is the only one, Espo. How are you, man? What's going
on? Good. I'm good. I think when you say I'm up here, you just mean I'm super busy with a four-year-old and a day job. I think that's that's what you actually mean.
No, I mean you actually have a basketball team that's good after 10 years of garbage. So
I know. It's different. I'll say that. This will be a different conversation than we've ever had about the Suns when we've talked about them. So
I think we might fight, though, today.
That's fine. We always do.
I think there's... Because look, I'm looking at them today, and as you and I sit here right now in this moment, LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond are not part of the Phoenix Suns as we sit here today. I'm of the opinion that they should go get one of those two, but it won't be today. I don't think either one is going to be traded today, but I think they're going to be bought out. Thus, I would say go after one of those two because I still feel like, Greg, that they're not big enough for a 7-game series in postseason.
And guess what? We're not going to fight because I agree wholeheartedly with you.
Okay, that's the end of the segment. Goodbye. Thank you.
At least on this part, I wholeheartedly agree with you. They are still a piece away. I think they may be two pieces away. One of those is they need depth at power forward / center. And you're exactly right. The name I'm looking at more is LaMarcus Aldridge. Yeah. I think he makes more sense. He played with James Jones. He played for Monty in Portland when Monty was an assistant coach there. I think he's a known quantity that these guys will feel comfortable with and that won't change the chemistry. Now, I don't know much about Andre Drummond from a personal standpoint. I just know that LaMarcus has the connection, so those guys are familiar with him. That's the name that I look at in a buyout market, but there's a lot of rumors that he wants to go east and potentially Miami. And wants to be a starting center. So I don't know if he's going to be actually realistically available for them. So, but you're right. The buyout market, I think, is where this team's going to try to make a move. I hope it's enough because I think they may be buying into their own press clippings right now. Being second in the West is real nice.
Yeah, no. I think there's something to that. I think, look, I look at the NBA and I think that COVID is still out there as an impact on some of these teams are not as good as they've shown. Some of these teams right now are not there yet and they're going to get there. You know, like Boston is sitting there today. And as we sit here right now and talk about it, they have two really, really good pieces. Aaron Gordon, I thought that might be a piece that Danny would go chase. Instead, Aaron Gordon goes to Denver. Boston has the fifth best record over in the East. And if you look at the East and Kyle Lowry's still sitting out there today, I can make the argument Boston's the biggest disappointment and they have two superstars on that team, right? So So that's a team that should be active today. Over in the West, you talk about the Suns and the press clippings. I think what Denver has done today already is pretty darn good. I'm not the biggest fan of him, but it adds another piece to a Nuggets team that's quietly very, very good. And I look at Denver and Utah and say, you know, the Suns in a long series, I don't see enough depth out here.
Yeah, I think Denver took that step. I think they're now a tier above the Suns when they add McGee and they add Aaron Gordon here at the deadline. They're a team that's underachieved, but I also think they're a team that realizes the regular season doesn't matter all that much.
Yes,
as long as we're rolling by playoff time. That's what matters, and they've reloaded here. I mean, I think they're a deeper team. I think they're more talented, and they have playoff experience, having just been to the Western Conference Finals. So that's a team that now moves ahead of the Suns there, and I think that's not all we're going to see out West. I think other teams are going to make moves, even if they're just around the fringes, to solidify the things. The Suns need to, if they believe that that window is open to chase a title, do something, in my estimation, to just keep up with everybody in the Western Conference.
Right, I don't think that they are a title contending team, in my opinion. You know, how often do you see a team that's been as bad as they've been, and all of a sudden the next year it's wham, they're in the championship round? You know, they've been, and yeah, Chris Paul's made that bit much of a difference, and Mikal Bridges has made the step. You still have Frank Kaminsky that you're rolling out there for a few minutes per game. in a long series. And DeAndre Ayton is still this. DeAndre Ayton in a postseason that matters. Let's just say, let's say it's Suns Denver. Do I think DeAndre is going to get crushed by Jokic? Of course I do. I mean, he just is not there yet on the defensive end to stay with somebody like that in a seven-game series. You know this, and I don't think I'm twisting your arm. Postseason, well, what we're seeing right now, it's all well and good and peaches and cream and puppies and puffy clouds. You get into a postseason at the end of April and May, completely different level of basketball, and I don't know if DeAndre Ayton's ready for that.
Yeah, they're going to have DeAndre Ayton step up in the playoffs. There's no doubt about that if they want to be in that upper echelon. The two things that that keep me thinking they may be in that group potentially is that they're one of the top defensive teams in the league and one of the top half-court offenses in the league. And those are two things when it comes to the playoffs that you need. If you have those two things, that we all know it's the old adage, the game slows down in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They are playing like that already, and they're doing it as one of the best teams, not only in the Western Conference, but the NBA right now. That gives me hope that they can actually compete in the playoffs. But you're right, DeAndre Ayton is going to have to mature and mature quickly, because inconsistency is going to get you knocked out in the first or second round. But if they can get consistent effort on both sides of the floor from him, they could be in that category with Utah, with Denver, with the LA teams come playoff time.
Okay, I'm going to just be straight up with you on this one. That is, this is DeAndre Ayton. Either it's going to happen or it's not. Because if they get into the postseason, which for they're going to, they can't crap the bed that badly and fall out, okay? If he goes into the postseason and he completely lays an egg and gets dusted, then James Jones and Monty Williams have to say, we gave this a try and he's gone. Or he makes the push and shows that, okay, he is our guy. To me, success for them is a second round appearance this year. That may not be the best for Chris Paul. Okay, but Chris Paul has not lived through all this nonsense. But this is make or break. I'm in that space of make or break for DeAndre Ayton. Either we're not going to sit here next year and say, well, his first round, we'll see if Ayton can play. No, if he falls apart, Greg, then he's got to go in this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I've pounded the table for DeAndre Ayton over the last few years because I think there has been some unfair criticism. But this year, I'm there with you right now. I've gotten to that point where, it's put up or shut up time, and playoffs are going to be that in particular. And the problem with waiting until this offseason to decide that is if he goes in and he doesn't perform well in the playoffs, he's now a devalued asset, I think, in some ways around the league. Plus, he's owed that contract extension. You've got to decide how much money you want to commit to this guy long term. It's going to be a very difficult decision when it comes to him. And I hope what we've seen the last few games is a hint that he's turned that corner. But we've seen this numerous times where he'll give you a 3-game stretch and you go, oh, okay, now we're cooking with gas. And then he'll have a clunker the next game. And that cannot happen the rest of the way. This does not get any easier for the Phoenix Suns at any step of this process. It's been fun so far. They've played well, but this is where it gets difficult. After the trade deadline is where a lot of sleeping giants wake up and realize we're in the home stretch and the Suns need to decide if they're contenders or if they're just happy with making it in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm one of those guys that says, yeah, LeBron rolled his ankle. I saw the tape. LeBron doesn't need to play for the next 3 weeks. LeBron was very open about, coming out of the bubble and the shortened return to the start of the NBA regular season. LeBron was very open about not wanting an all-star game. So yeah, he tweaked his ankle. It's easy for Lakers to say, this is how it works in sports. This guy could play right now, but he's going to sit for 3 weeks. He doesn't need to play. There'll be a lot of groin, load management, ankle, whatever. And with all the back-to-backs the Suns are having, I would expect them to do some of the same. I don't need to see Devin Booker every night. I don't need to see Chris Paul every night. The other night in Miami when they all sat out the fourth quarter, it was like, this is great. They have a back-to-back the next night. And then I'm watching them last night in the first and second quarter, and they were tempo, tempo, tempo. They were pushing like I have not seen them push. And it was really interesting to see on an offensive side of things where, like, okay, are they trying to be thoroughbreds, greyhounds here? Because I have not seen this out of them. The half court is where I need to see them really drill down. I agree with you on postseason. But we're in that stretch of it's the dog days of the NBA season outside of the deadline today.
Yeah, well, and look, in the Western Conference, I don't think that seeding matters all that much, especially with the fact that we don't know how fans are actually going to be able to attend postseason, if there's going to be large amounts of fans or not. If there isn't, home court's going to matter very little when it comes to, you know, are the Lakers the five seed and, you know, or are they, you know, the two seed? I think it matters very little for some of these teams that know that they can turn it on, in particular the Lakers. The Suns don't have that luxury.
No, they've got to be a top four. You're right.
And they've got to have that consistency and figured out night in, night out. An off night, like you saw in Orlando, is catastrophic for this team because they lose to a sub 500 roster that gets gutted the next day. Like they have to be on and firing on all cylinders all the time to compete.
That's like losing to Minnesota last week. You know, what just happened? And you try not to make too much of that stuff. All right, before I get you out of here. So my view, as I've stated a couple times, I have yet to hear from you. They've got to get to the second round in order for me to be satisfied. Okay, I'm not one of those that thinks they have to make it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. That would be unbelievable in the turnaround. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Oh, I think you're right. I actually think that the bar is probably the fact that they get into the playoffs, and if they win a first round series, nobody should probably complain. But the reality is they've increased expectations with the way that they've played. And the way I look at it is you've got Chris Paul for 2 years. He could technically opt out after this year, but nobody's leaving $40+ million on the table to opt out anywhere unless they have a long-term deal. But the way I look at it is two years with Chris Paul, which means your window's open a crack, which means that you're playing this well, you should probably try to kick that window in rather than play around and hope that the future is better. Because if the last decade has taught us anything, and personally the last year has taught us anything, we have no clue what's going to happen. And when opportunities come, you better take advantage of them because they may not come around for another 10 years. And that's been the case for the Phoenix Suns. And I kind of hope they learned from, well, we made the Western Conference Finals, but we're going to gut this roster, and then it takes 10 years to get back to that. And they actually try to do something with the opportunity in front of them. The expectations have been raised for me because of that.
That's good. That's good. I'll let you go off that. You can catch Greg's Sun Solar podcast. He has been at how many episodes now?
250. We're over almost four straight years doing it. So.
Now think about that, audience. Greg has poured himself into 250 episodes and probably 230 of them about a team that blows or blew. The team that's just awful. That's the worst in the league. So if you don't think that Greg is the most passionate, loyal Suns follower, I'm not going to call him a fan. He is someone who follows this organization. And it's great, but he's talked about crapola for 230 of those 250 episodes. So,
don't forget the 5 years I covered him for the team, too, before
that. Wow, jeez, oh, man, you're on the payroll to cover that garbage. Holy jeez. All right, get out of here. Good stuff. There's Espo, and we're back with more after this timeout.